Welcome to the C3 Church Camden podcast. For more information about our church, please visit www.c3wc.com. We are so thrilled that you're listening today, and we hope you enjoy the message.
Well, good afternoon, you wonderful people. Like you've been saying, I can't wait till we can actually see each other in person on the 7th of November. And just so in case people do ask, the legislation does allow for unvaccinated people to attend church services. One thing that the Christian denominations in New South Wales lobbied the government on. We don't think there's too many people who are unvaccinated in the Camden LGA, but there may be some. But you, I think we're at 99 point something. But please remember that I want to keep calling us to be a people who keep asking, what does love look like? Let's make sure we don't discriminate on any grounds at all. Do whatever we can to reach out and love others, even people we agree with or disagree with, wherever we fit on that. Let's be a people who represent Jesus, give up our rights and continue to love others. How you all doing? Give me a wave if you can hear me okay. Everything all right? Good. Fantastic. Well, we're going to continue with the preaching this afternoon. I don't want to take too much of your time, but I do want to share some important news with you beforehand, as if we haven't had enough important news. I wanted to let you know some important news that might be, I think it's probably worth taking the time to share with you now, and then we'll pop something in an email and send it out to you this week as well, in case you have any questions. We just wanted to let you know that I've been in conversation with Paul Stonebridge over the last, probably a few months. We've been chatting, and Paul's been chatting with Edwina and chatting with Jill and I, and seeking God for what God would have for him and the call that God would have on his life during this time. And I just wanted to let you know that as we've been working that through, Paul has been praying and bringing it before God and having conversations. And Paul has felt that the anointing to be a pastor, to have that pastoral title, is not the right anointing for him. And so rather than just strive and continue on with that being a yoke that is not the yoke for him, we've had some conversations and we've come to a mutual decision that really we wanted to relieve Paul of that mantle, of that responsibility, so that he's able to do the things that he feels called to. You know, Jesus says in Matthew 11:29, he says, you know, if you're weary and you're burdened, come to me, follow me, and I will put your head in my yoke, take my yoke upon you. And when you do that, you will find rest for your soul. And so Paul has been working this through and talking to Edwina and trying to suss out where God was in that. And I had an opportunity to have breakfast with Paul this Thursday morning. When you've got to leave the Illawarra to be in Camden by 7 o'clock, you know you're dedicated to pastoral ministry. Who agrees with me there? But I was in Camden at 7 o'clock having breakfast with Paul, and we were just chatting through and talking about this. And so we've really come to a place of peace about this, that we wanted to relieve Paul of that responsibility. What does that mean on the ground? Well, probably not a lot in terms of what you'll see day to day, because as many of you would be aware, that the location pastor anointing is sitting very, very strongly and very securely upon Pastor Edwina. She is doing an amazing job leading us in that way. And so that's been part of it, is working out, is that an anointing that Paul needs to carry as well or not? And he didn't want to just quite wisely just shirk that if it was what God was saying, no, carry that. But Paul has felt and I very much agree that he doesn't need to hold that in order to be able to do the things that he's called to do. And so we wanted to remove that responsibility, that weight of responsibility, and that will free up Pastor Edwina to carry that load in consult with Jill and myself, and also enable him to fulfill the things that he's doing without the burden that isn't his. Now, if it was his burden, if it was his call, he would find that giving it up. We were chatting with Pastor Edwina about this the other day. Jill was saying there's days when I feel like I'd go and get another job. I could go and get another job, it'd be so much easier. But she'd say, but the call would still be there, you know, looking at Brian and Rosalie. And they've had that pastoral call. They know what that's like. And while that weight's there, you have a grace to carry it. But if it's not the responsibility that you have, then don't carry that weight. And I would say that to each of you. Find what God has called you to do. Find your fit and carry that, because his yoke is easy, but not necessarily every yoke, or the yoke that other people might think you have, or the yoke you might think you have. I've been chatting with some other pastors that oversee this week, and someone in their church is struggling with wanting to carry a yoke that isn't theirs to carry, trying to push themselves into ministry, and it's ugly because it's not their yoke. And so I really want to applaud Paul on that he has the maturity and the grace not to strive for something that isn't his, but to find his fit and go, this is what I'm called to do. And so Paul is going to continue to be involved in the creative ministry team. He has an important role on our board and in governance, and he brings all those skills to the table, and he's going to continue to do those. And also, too, he has recently been promoted. In fact, since we've been in lockdown, Paul has been promoted twice. He's had two job promotions in the space of a few months, and he now has a general manager role within Westfield, which means he oversees a whole bunch of departments within Westfield across Australasia, Australia and New Zealand. So that's a massive responsibility right there. And so with all of those things and just that understanding that I'm called to carry certain things and I'm not called to carry others, I wanted to let you know that that's where it's at. It probably doesn't make a whole lot of difference other than, you know, just don't burden Paul with those things that he's not called to. Pastor Edwina, you can burden her as much as she wants. No, I'm just kidding. Pastor Edwina will just pass it on to us if it's a problem. But you know, she has that calling to do that. And we love the Stonebridges. They've been here since day one. And, you know, coming up to 10 years, they've been faithful servants in our church. The children have, you know, Judah has grown up in our church. And you know, Joel's gone from being a little boy to being a young man with a driver's license, or L's anyway, I think. But, you know, we've seen this family and we love them. So I can see some amazing encouragement in the chat. So we'll fill you in a bit more. I just wanted to let you know that's some important news. It's not bad news. Don't be discouraged by that. It's just about making sure that we find the right fit for the right people. Okay. So that's very much our heart as pastors as well, is to make sure we don't ask you to do more than what you're called to do. We want to help you find your fit. Amen. If there's any questions at all, feel free to send me an email, have a chat with me, and we'll address those. But we just want to honor you, Paul, and thank you for what you have done and what you continue to do. We love you, and thank you as well, Pastor Dwayne. Lots of love going around. That's great. All right, wonderful. Well, we are going to get into the Word of God, and I'll share my screen with you. As has been my custom over the last few times I've preached, and I've had some feedback saying they like the fact that they can see the way my brain works, and encourage you in your own Bible study. Hopefully you don't scribble all over your notes necessarily the way I do, but this is how I like to teach. But before we do, we're going to continue with our How to Live Like a Christian series, looking at the Sermon on the Mount, and we'll run this for about another 4 weeks, and I think we're going to kick off our Advent season, Christmas season, right at the end of November. 28th of November, I think, will be our first Sunday focusing on Advent. So we're wrapping up Matthew chapter 6 today, and we're going to go into chapter 7. I think Desi next week is going to be preaching about judging others. It's just a light topic, not really a pertinent topic in today's society at all. I'm just glad that Desi's preaching that one and not me, but looking forward to that next week. But today, we're going to talk about money and stuff. And if you've been in our church for a while, you've probably heard me preach most of what I'm going to say today. If you're new, I hope this encourages you. But I think this is an important topic to constantly remind ourselves about, this issue of money and possessions and how it applies to our life. And I actually think it's pertinent as well for a number of reasons as we head into recommencement of services, as we begin to reopen our lives and bring people in, because I think there's a naturally and rightly so, there's a lot of excitement around reopening. And, oh, we get to do things that we haven't done for a long time. But I suspect that many of us may not be aware of potentially how emotionally taxing this next couple of months may be. And that's not to say that it's been easy in lockdown either. But the way I've been talking to people in the last couple of weeks is, as I've been saying that, you know, every relative that hasn't visited for 4 months is suddenly going to want to visit, or every relative you haven't visited, you're going to want to visit. Every weekend holiday that hasn't been taken is going to be taken. And on top of that, it's happening in November and December. And many of you are parents and you've got school presentation nights. I remember those days with not very much fondness, when we used to have to go to three or four presentation nights over the course of a month, adding to the schedule. You've got Christmas parties and all kinds of stuff happening. And so I suspect that some of us may be thinking, oh, I'm ready by Christmas just to have a bit of peace and quiet. And so there's this rising tide. Some of you might be already feeling that, because if you're introverted and lockdown has probably in many ways has been almost like a breath of fresh air for some people, that they've been able to not feel the pressure of having to socially interact so much. And so there's all this stuff potentially bringing anxiety into our world or putting pressure on us. And as pastors, we've talked about this, we don't want church and volunteering in church in this next couple of months to be the thing that is the straw that breaks the camel's back. That's not to say we shouldn't be volunteering and we shouldn't be involved and we should be. And that's what I'm talking about today. But we don't want that to be a burden that you have to carry, because it might not be, as I said, it might not be Jesus' yoke for you to carry. We want to put Jesus as our first priority. And so my message in the next few moments is really about us challenging ourselves as we recommence and reopen. Let's recommit to making Jesus priority number one in our lives. Okay, let's put him on the throne and then everything else will fit into place. But if we suddenly make all our connection fit into place and all our social stuff that priority, we will quickly burn out. So let's make Jesus our priority with our finances and our time and our treasure. And we're going to talk about that in a maybe in a couple of weeks' time. The last week before we open up, we're going to have a communion and a service around a bit of an encounter with God, just to revitalize ourselves in God's presence. So today, in the next few minutes, I want to teach about that. We've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount, and really these three chapters, Jesus teaches this famous sermon, really are focused on the heart issues of a Christian. How do we live like a Christian? Not just about how we conduct ourselves and how it appears we live, but what's really going on inside our heart. You know, Jesus says, you've heard that it was said, don't commit murder. But I tell you, inside your heart, if you're already angry, there's murder going on there. So Jesus is drilling down deep into our motives and our motivations of our life. And in today's passage, he brings into that the issue of money and finances, and he adds that in. And if you've been around our church for any time, you've heard me say this several times, and it's the best one-liner I've ever come up with, so I keep it going, and that is this: the issue of money is not a money issue, it's a heart issue. The issue of money is never about money. The issue of money is always about the heart. And Jesus would say that to us. He would remind us that if we make money our idol, if we make money the thing that we worship and adore, money is a cruel, cruel slave master. When money has us, it destroys us. When we have money and we have it in the right attitude, it actually can add value to our lives and can bring the kingdom to earth in other people's lives. The issue of money is never just a money issue. It's always a heart issue. So I'm going to try and share my screen. And before we actually get into Matthew chapter 6, I'm going to take us quickly into Luke. I cannot do two things at once. It's impossible for me to talk and screen and share my screen at the same time. So bear with me. I'll share my screen first, then we'll go from there. Oops, I just switched the microphone on. No, it didn't. It's all right. Start broadcast. Okay, here we go. So I want to take us to this passage of scripture in Luke chapter, Luke chapter 16, verse 13. We'll start there. Luke chapter 16, verse 13. This statement, which is the statement that we're going to read in Matthew chapter 6 as well. Jesus says this: no one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and you'll love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and you'll despise the other. You cannot serve both God at the same time and be enslaved to money. You cannot serve both God and money, Jesus is saying. What he's saying is that money, perhaps more than any other issue in our world, has the potential to vie for lordship in our life. Why is that? Well, money gets us stuff, and stuff makes us feel secure. Doesn't mean it brings security, but it can make us feel secure. And money, when we get stuff at the expense of other people, we're basically doing what Adam and Eve did. We are taking and defining what's good for me at the expense of that money for the kingdom's purposes. away from others. I am not bringing.
Sorry, just letting you know, Pastor Owen, you're cutting in and out.
Yeah, how long ago did I cut in and out?
About 10 seconds ago.
Okay, just give me a sec. Is it stable again?
I think so, yep.
You're back. Okay, I just got a notification saying my... So,
oh, no, you've gone again.
Can
no. Someone needs to do a song and dance while we're waiting.
How are we now?
Yep,
I'm on my data. I'm back on 5G for now.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yep, can hear you now. We'll see how that goes.
I'm on my phone, so we'll see how we go. All right, see if that works. All right, so that's nothing compared to what I had at the Rule this morning. We had internet die almost in the middle of the live stream, so it was out for minutes, for ages. Okay, give me a thumbs up if you can hear me. Everything all right? Okay, we'll persevere. It just start waving madly, all right? If it doesn't work, I'll cut back to my Wi-Fi in a moment. So Jesus would say, make sure that money, you use money, money doesn't use you. No one can serve two masters. You'll hate one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and you'll despise the other. And so the reason I wanted to read, to take us to Luke 16 first, is because in Luke 16, Jesus says a few things that he doesn't say in Matthew 6 or Luke, perhaps he preached it twice, I don't know. But Luke identifies this point about finances. He says, if you're faithful in little things, you'll be faithful in large things. But if you're dishonest in little things, you won't be faithful or honest with greater responsibilities. And if you're untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? That is a direct parallel to remind us that the things that we think is true wealth, the money, the stuff, that's not true wealth. Jesus is saying that's actually the little things. That's compared to the big things of God's kingdom, all the money in the world is just little things. And he's saying if you can't be faithful with that, how can you be expected to be faithful with the real riches of God's kingdom? Verse 12, and if you're not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own? This is a fundamental principle in the Bible, that humans are created to be stewards. We are not created to own stuff. We are created to represent God. Everything we have has been given and entrusted to us. Parents, you've been entrusted to look after your children. Employers, you've been entrusted with your positions, with your employees. Pastors, we're entrusted with people. Every one of us is entrusted with things. We're all entrusted with this earth. We're all entrusted to steward this earth well. We have a responsibility to care for the world, all aspects of the world. And Jesus is saying that's the fundamental principle. And if you can't be trustworthy with the things, the small things God has entrusted to you, don't expect God to trust you with greater wealth. Is that okay? Can you hear me okay? Yep. Okay. So let's go down to Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus picks up this topic. It's a little slow, isn't it? Teaching about money and possessions. Jesus says, don't store up treasure here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroy them and where thieves break in and steal. I wanted to just stick on this word storing up for a moment because I think this is something I've not seen before. That really is a hard issue. You see, there's not necessarily always wrong to store up. The Bible has a lot to say about saving and investing, and you know that there can be wisdom in storing up. The issue is when storing up, and I think this is what Jesus is saying in this context, when storing up is motivated by fear of not having enough, or motivated by greed of wanting more, or motivated by desiring acclaim because people will say how successful or how wealthy you are. When that's the motivation of the heart for storing up, that's the kind of storing up Jesus is saying. Don't do that, because that's storing up here on earth. And it's like when Jesus says, we read a few weeks of that, where he says those that seek the acclaim of others and do their good deeds to be seen before men, they get their reward on earth. That's what Jesus is saying. Don't store up out of those motives. But if you're storing up or you're investing for the purpose of advancing God's kingdom and investing into your next generation and so on, it's okay. That's not what he's talking about here. It's not advocating for giving away everything all the time. Some of them may be called to do that, but not most of us aren't. But the attitude of the heart. What's our attitude for the heart? Don't store up. He's talking about materialism. As I said, it doesn't mean you can't own stuff. He says instead in verse 20, store your treasures in heaven. Now, what does that mean? Well, I think in light of the rest of Scripture and in the light of what Jesus is saying in Matthew 6, I think it's not just talking about somehow some kind of heavenly storeroom alone. It's saying storing up your wealth, use your resources in a way to do things that brings heaven to earth. So make sure that you're investing in things that make the earth around us look more like heaven. And if we're doing that, then we're storing up treasure in heaven. We're doing something that will outlast the recreation of heaven and earth. So avoid the temporal and make sure that you store up with a motive that says, I want to bring heaven to earth in some way. And every time you pay your tithes, you do that. Every time you're generous, every time you cook a meal for someone, you reach out and do something for someone, that's storing up treasure in heaven because you're bringing heaven to earth. This famous statement in verse 21, wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If you've been around for a while, you've heard me teach on this a lot. Remember that the motive there is that when we put our treasure there, our heart follows. Jesus didn't say, oh, when your heart's there, you'll give. I can't tell you how many times over the year I've heard people say, well, when I have, I'll tithe, or when I'm committed, then I'll pay my tithe or I'll be generous. And Jesus would say, that's not how it works, friends. Put your treasure into something, invest into something, and you'll find your heart will follow you. I'm going to go through my scribbled notes for the sake of time. I cut a bit out. Is that verse again coming up? Oh, it's frozen now. Here we go. It's going to catch up. It says in verse 24 that no one can serve two masters. I think my iPad is frozen. Yep, my iPad is frozen. I'll just stop the screen and reshare it. Let's try that again. See if it works. I know what it'll be. My iPad is still on my internet connection. I haven't changed that. Yeah, that's what's going on. My internet connection is slow. So now I want to read verse 25. These challenging words that Jesus says to us. Let's read them and then let them confront you. I want you to think about this. Imagine you're listening to Jesus say this on the side of the hill in Galilee. And he says, that's why I tell you, don't worry about your everyday life, whether you have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you more valuable than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Now, if you're honest, that's pretty confronting words. Even if you're in a position where you're not challenged financially, you'll know someone who is. And those words can seem pretty confronting, but they're not intended to be confronting for the sake of judgmental. They're intended to be pastoral words. They're intended to bring encouragement. You know, Jesus was speaking to a people who were living just above the subsistence line. The Romans kept them that way. They were people who didn't have enough money. So they made sure they didn't have enough money so they could finance a rebellion. And they made sure they had just enough money so that they wouldn't want to rebel. They were the master of the art of just making them work hard just to make a living. And into that, Jesus says, I don't want you to think about worrying about not having enough. You need to see that Rome isn't providing for you. Your work isn't providing for you. Your heavenly Father, he knows what you need. He is providing for you. And he says, don't you realize that your life is more than what you eat and more than what you wear and more than what you, the house you have, the roof you have over your head? The quality of your life is not supposed to be defined by what you have. The quality of your life is much more than whether you have a lot or a little. The Apostle Paul put it this way. He said, I've had lots and I've had little. And I've learned the secret of contentment, whether I've got a lot or a little. It's got nothing to do with how much I've got. In fact, I can do all things through Jesus who gives me strength. His purpose was, his life was aligned. His meaning, his fulfillment came from there, not from what he did or didn't have. So as we wrap up, I want to take us down to verse 31. Jesus says again, I don't want you to worry about these things. Don't worry about what you'll eat or what you'll drink, what you'll wear. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. Your heavenly Father, he already knows your needs. And this famous verse, 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God above all else, live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. I've heard a lot of sermons on this over the years, and I don't always know that we grasp the fullness of what it means to seek first the kingdom. It's not just a quaint saying. It's not just something we're supposed to do. It's in the context of everything he's just said about money and possessions and our attitude towards it. And he says, really, to sum it all up, he says, if you don't want to be worried about what you do and don't have, you need to, first of all, seek the kingdom. If you put the kingdom of God and live righteously, that is to do right and do what is good. Seek first the kingdom of God means to do what Jesus did. Jesus began his ministry and he said, the kingdom of God is here. You know the kingdom of God you've been waiting for? You've been dreaming about the day when kingdom values would come on the earth, when sickness would be cured, when famine would be defeated, when joy would replace despair, when hope would replace hopelessness, when peace would replace turmoil, when justice would replace injustice. Jesus is saying that day has come. The kingdom has come, and it's now my job to go around and heal people and deliver people and show them the kingdom has come. So, friends, when we are Christ followers and when we live like Christians, it means to use everything we have, our finances, for that purpose, to do what is right and make the earth look like the kingdom of heaven. That's what it means. So we need to make sure as we reconnect and recommence our lives that he is priority one. Jesus is first priority in our finances, everything we have, everything we do, everything we spend our time on. I want us to pray today and commit that back to God and say, God, I'm going to reopen, I'm going to recommence, and I'm going to recommit. I'm going to go enjoy the social times and do all those things. By all means, they're beautiful and they're wonderful parts of life, but do them with Jesus on the throne. Make sure that he is Lord of your wallet. He's Lord of your bank balance. He's Lord of your schedule. Put him first. Don't crowd him out. That's the most important thing. Make him your first priority in this season. I'm going to close there because we're over time. Just going to pray, and then I'll hand over to Desi for breakout groups. Oh, we've got to do a giving moment. That's the other thing I've got to do too. Pastor Edwina would have reminded me. So we're going to pop our giving options in the screen, and we've decided we'd leave that till the end of the service today just to remind us of that very issue. Maybe this is a time and you've let your financial generosity go during this time. And tithing, friends, that 10% is just part of it. We give our tithe to the kingdom of God so that we can expand God's kingdom. When you do, you're doing that. You're seeking first the kingdom of God. So maybe you've let your tithe go. Why don't you make a decision as we recommence and reopen to put Jesus first, not crowd him out with all the other stuff you need to spend money on. Put him first, recommit to tithing. You can commit just by clicking the link in the chat and setting up regular giving. Put him back on the throne of your life and your finances and determine to keep a generous heart towards others that you see around you in all areas of your life. Let's make him Lord of our lives again. I'm going to pray along those lines. Looking around all your faces, I just wanted to encourage you to challenge you, really. Is Jesus really Lord in this season? So, Lord, as we wrap up this service today, I pray that you would inspire us and challenge us to make sure that we seek you first, that we seek your kingdom first, that we invest our resources into things that bring your kingdom to earth, that right the wrongs and injustices of this world, that bring the hope of Christ to people's lives, that help people meet and discover the Lord Jesus. I pray wherever there's been anxiety or worry about not having enough, I pray that you would replace that with hope, that these words would ring true today, that our Heavenly Father already knows what we need, even before we ask him. And that, Lord, you would minister that hope and that trust to every person today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from our church. We hope you'll stay connected by following us online. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram by searching C3 Church Camden.